Welcome back to the ReZero podcast, where we're going to be talking about chapters 124 to 125. If you don't know what the ReZero podcast is about, it's the greatest ReZero podcast on the internet. Why? Why, Cedric? Why? Why is it the greatest ReZero podcast? Please tell me.
We have lollies.
No, it's because we're the only ReZero podcast on the internet.
That's the wrong answer, though.
No, it's the right answer. Name another ReZero podcast. Exactly.
The one with Mitch in it.
Wait, Mitch is in a ReZero podcast? Wait, Mitch is doing a ReZero podcast?
Imagine though.
Oh yeah. For those who didn't watch the bloopers on Patreon, I didn't realize Mitch Echidnut had already been in two of the ReZero podcast episodes, and I was like oblivious to this. When Cedric said it, I was like, "What? No way." Dude, he's never been in a podcast of mine before. And both of these podcasts happened like a year ago. I don't know, man. I think I've lost my mind at this point. So, yeah, this is the greatest ReZero podcast on the internet because we're the only ReZero podcast. And I'm joined here today by my special guest to talk about chapters 124 and 125. Introduce yourself.
My name is Cedric and I like ReZero.
All right. I'm glad you like ReZero because... let me tell you, the podcast would be very weird if you didn't.
True that.
So let's go ahead and get in right into the festivities. Chapter 124, titled "Listen Up, Stupid," which is great, by the way. Talk about in the moment. So this continues on from last chapter. Biko, Subaru are going to have another argument, like they did a handful of chapters ago. And, just like before, Biko just doesn't want to leave, but Subaru is like, "Hey, Biko, like, I'm gonna drag you out of here whether you like it or not, because not only do I want you to leave this library, because I need you, but as well, your library and your gate crossing is completely compromised." What do you think about that?
What I think about that is, first of all, for some reason, Asa is aware that Biko has that ability of door crossing, and she also knows how to cancel it out. I mean, I didn't think about it first when I read it, because at the first time Elsa appeared and killed Biko, I was like, how did she enter the Forbidden Library? But makes sense that she just opened all doors, and at the end, only one remains. Biko figured out that somebody ordered Elsa to kill her who knows of her door crossing. So she figured it might be Roswell, because he is the only one who really knows what's going on there.
I think it is Roswell.
I mean, it sounds likely.
Right now, at the time of this recording, ReZero Season 2 is airing. And it gives you a lot of perspective on a lot of things. Being able to watch it through an anime, and definitely, like, I was like, dude, Roswell has planned all of this. Like, this is Roswell's big old plan, and it's quite obvious in the anime where it's airing right now. I think we're on, like, episode 10 or 11. It's quite obvious, and it didn't feel as obvious in the web novel to me, but at this point, it's incredibly obvious to me. It's Roswell, straight up. Roswell is doing this because he's abiding by the gospel that he has. And, yeah. That's that, I guess. So apparently, I guess, Roswell's gospel in it, I guess it says to kill Biko. Which, do you think that it says in his gospel to kill Biko? Or do you think that to do what the gospel says, the best way to achieve his goal is to kill Biko?
Yeah, no, I think it's really just... I think he didn't really expect things to go like they are right now. So he maybe tried to make Subaru protect Biko to get maybe stronger by defending her, or getting a certain solution which gives him a certain power up, something like that. Because that would make the most sense, I think. I don't know why you would kill off Biko, even though he knows that she's a very powerful magician.
Maybe he just wants Biko to drink more milk. She's a growing girl, you know. You gotta drink your milk to get strong bones.
Yeah, perhaps she just didn't leave. You know those kids who just hate to leave? Perhaps she's just playing Fate Go or Fate Grand Order.
And the worst.
Rossball is a parent and saying, you gotta leave.
Is that a Fate reference in the ReZero podcast? When's the last time that's happened?
Ages ago.
Yeah, it's gotta be ages ago. And I wasn't the one who brought it up this time. Things are changing. The tides are changing. Fate is becoming fun and popular. And it's all because of the ReZero podcast. Right now, it's underrated, man. Completely underrated. It's not as popular as it could be. That's a joke. It's extremely popular.
Yeah.
What
does it say?
But Biko essentially believes that at this point, she's this blank. She doesn't have anything to do. The gospel never gives her anything to do, and she just stares at it all the time, thinking, you know, one day it's going to give her an order to do something, but it just never does. And so her life is meaningless, and she would be okay if Roswell ended her life, because that must mean there's some kind of plan for Biko finally. And because of that, she thinks this gospel that she has is possibly meant for somebody else entirely. She made me go, you know, is it meant for Subaru? Is Subaru going to get a gospel? But at that point, I'm like, well, we see how it's affected Roswell. And I'm like, well, it probably wouldn't make sense for Subaru to get a gospel, because look how much it's fucked everything up. I don't know. Or maybe the gospels can be changed to, I don't know, make people stronger instead of crazier. I don't know how that's going down, but I think it's interesting when Biko says she's some blank and she doesn't mind being killed off by Roswell, because I mean, that just kind of shows, like, Biko is like this really lonely character who yearns for attention. She yearns for a human connection, someone she can connect and interact with. There's nobody in her life that she can do that with. I mean, Puck's gone. Everyone else around her was gone. I mean, she says later in this chapter that everyone around her has left her. So what does it even matter? Like, but like the person that has connected with her is Subaru. But I also think that Biko's logic, you know, is, I think a lot of her issues is that she's following very closely to what she was told 400 years ago by Echidona. And she's taken that as, you know, as, well, no pun intended, but gospel. And she has trouble doubting the words of her own mother, which Subaru, you know, she even asks Subaru, she even says, would you doubt the words of your own mother? And Subaru's like, yeah, I stopped believing my parents when I was like third year primary school, when my mother lied to me. And like, I already didn't trust my father at that point. So yeah, sure. And she's like, she's totally surprised by this. She's like, what? How can that be? You don't believe your parents? You don't follow what they say? And I think a part of why that is because maybe Biko as well doesn't have much experience as just being a human person, even though she's not. She's a great spirit, but she doesn't have those experiences that humans have, you know, which make people doubt other people. She doesn't know any of that. She's been in a freaking library for 400 years reading one book. So that doesn't even have any pages. And she even says, like, you don't think I tried to do stuff? You don't think I tried? So it shows, like, she's like at her wit's end with all of this. And at this point, she's just waiting to forever to do something. And that loneliness that she has kind of like isolated her, put up a big wall around her. And Subaru is like the person that's breaking through that wall and getting her out of the library.
Wait a second. I want to mention something because the reason why she's totally accepting to be killed by Elsa is because it was written in Roswell's Gospel, and she is kind of losing the grip of reality because she thinks that because it's written in Roswell's Gospel that Donna is remembering, because so it gives her that purpose she wanted for years, that she was waiting for.
Right, yeah. It gives her meaning. It gives her something to, you know, this is what she's been waiting for, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes her so interesting. Subaru at some point just starts calling her stupid repeatedly. And she's like, do not call me stupid, I suppose. Like, she gets super angry. And Subaru just starts flipping her off. Which is, it literally says that. And I thought that was the funniest thing in this whole chapter was, stupid, stupid, stupid. Flips her off. It's good stuff. What did you think about Subaru saying to sever the contract?
So, as he said that, first of all, by reading it the first time, it would sound pretty stupid because if Subaru just said he is the guy, she would have joined him and everything would be fine.
Well, yeah. She asked, by the way, for people who aren't aware, she asked, will you be Betty's they?
Yeah, yeah. But obviously he denies, because I think what he was trying here was to not convince Biko by a vow or a contract. He was trying to make her do that by herself, so she isn't bound to any boundaries.
Yeah, she didn't want to wrap her again in these terms and these contracts and these things like she was, you know, made to do. She wants to make her decide on her own what she wants from her life, because at the end of the day she's a person who can think on her own and has her own free will. And sure, she's signed to a contract, but she was created for this one specific reason, but she was ultimately given the free will to do whatever she wants. So yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, and he says no, and then she like kicks him out. and he's like, oh, I said the wrong thing. But I think what's gonna happen is Biko is gonna hear those words, and I think it's already changed her mind. I think she's mulling it over, and didn't we see in the last time they fought, she eventually made her way out of the library? So I think she's going to do it again. It's just this time we're going to see her not die. So it should be pretty cool. And when we actually see her pop out of the library and be like, I'm going to hurt you, Elsa, I suppose. And it's going to be great. Yeah, so apparently the witch beasts have surrounded the mansion and Elsa appears, which you think, well, where the hell's Garfield? I guess he's dead. It's the only thing you can think of. But that's the end of the chapter. What did you think about this chapter specifically? Anything you want to talk about?
Anything you want to talk about? Let's say, I think it's interesting how Biko is totally relying on Donna. I think that was cool. Not cool, it was rather disturbing, but it was interesting to see how much she's actually relying on her. And they actually mentioned it, or Super mentioned it, that Donna probably only made that contract for shits and giggles, so it really doesn't have any purpose, as Super mentioned that somewhere.
Yeah,
so
Biko's right,
waiting,
yeah, exactly,
for something, which Donna doesn't really care about. And Super also said something like, Donna has no feelings, even though she'd actually enjoy to be tormented. So in a way, Donna feels good about Beatrice, but perhaps she just forgot about her in some way.
I think she doesn't care. Because, like, he's totally right. Like, she's a sociopath. Like Akidona. Yeah. She's crazy. She's not right in the noggin. And for people that are, that have forgotten or are simply unaware, Akidona created Biko to, and then had this contract where something happens when the one comes. The one doesn't exist. She never intended the one to exist. It was just, haha, got you, prank bro. Like, that's pretty much what it was. Yeah. It's very sad. And I think that's one of the reasons why Biko is so stuck. It's just because of that. It's very sad, but our pastel colored lolly will soon leave that library, and I hope let's move on to chapter 125.
You
entitled the Roswell Mansion Battle. This chapter picks directly off 124. We get to see Otto actually use some magic in the very beginning, which we seen him in, like, in a fight. When's the last time we saw him in a fight? I think it was with Garfield, right?
It was with Rem and Garfield. There he protected Rem after she wanted to cast a magic spell, but kind of failed because she broke her wrist, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And then Rem was like, wow, wrist, you're useless. Go die.
Yeah. The usual.
Yeah. Subaru attacks with a clothes hanger. Let me repeat that. Subaru attacks Elsa with a clothes hanger. What? What was he thinking?
I mean, he's still thinking that she's in a Sekai, right? So perhaps he thought that would be effective.
Oh my god. It'd be like in Fire Force. When
when he
punches Hibana, he's gonna hit Elsa with the face with a clothes hanger, and she's gonna forget everything and to be like, oh, he's kinda dreamy and cool. I like Subaru. she's gonna be like, you know, Subaru, I take all of it back. You're kinda cute. And then, like, does, like, the trope where Subaru, like in Konosuba, the movie, when Kazuma is, like, in between that chick's boobs, and he's like, I like it here. I'm just going to stay here. This is cool. Which turns out to have, she's not fully a woman, but.
Yeah. We spoiled that, though.
Well, it came out like a year ago. It's fine. Yeah, true. It's fine. We're on a ReZero podcast. They watched it. Elsa is gonna put him in between her boobs, and she's gonna be like, I don't know, probably all motherly or something, be like, I'm a vampire mother. It's gonna be a weird fetish, and ReZero would be ruined.
I mean, I'd love that. That would be an amazing take of the story on the story.
Oh god, am I giving you ideas?
Yeah, of course.
Damn it.
Not safe for work ideas.
Oh, no. I never even thought about this.
No, you did.
Oh. Oh. Well, I'll take 10%.
Nah, I'd rather like 2%. It's a cool idea, but I've got to refine that and stuff.
Oh, okay. I'll take 15%.
Yo, you get 1%.
I'll take 20.
You get nothing.
I'll take 100%. How about that?
I'm going to leave the podcast right now.
So Elsa is attacking Subaru because he tried to attack her with a clothes hanger, and Petra jumps in, makes the save, pushes Subaru out of the way, and Subaru's like, Petra, hey.
Yeah, do you remind that? Do you remember that? Do you remember? In Arc 1, Felt did the exact same thing to rescue Subaru from the first strike of Elsa. Do you remember?
I did not. I do not remember.
Why do you don't remember?
I don't remember when Mitch is on my podcast.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
Like, I'm still in disbelief, and I heard him in my podcasts, plural.
I still don't get what, how you can forget something like that.
It's me. That should explain it enough. So what you're saying is, Felt and Petra are gonna meet up, and they're gonna fight.
Imagine that, though.
I mean, Petra would lose.
No, Petra would obviously win.
What?
Petra is the head of ReZero. She's the CEO of ReZero.
The CEO. She's the mastermind.
Yeah, of course she is.
She's the one behind it all. She's the one that hired Elsa. She's the one who's behind all the gospels.
Obviously, every kid in the village is like suspicious. I wouldn't be surprised if Petra turns out to have some really cool skills.
Well, I mean, we do know that she's pretty athletic because she's the daughter of Yotsuba from Quintessential Quintuplets. So she's obviously much smarter than her mother. Picks that smarts up from Uesugi, that's for sure.
No, I think she's kind of like the Satella kind of guy. Guy of girl.
Well, damn. Wait, have you read Quintessential Quintuplets?
Nope.
Oh my god. I'm sending you right now a picture of Yotsuba from the Quintessential Quintuplets, and you will tell me yes or no if that does not look exactly like Petra, because it does. It does. They have the same hair color and like everything. It's like ridiculous. This is, I guess, just a manga panel. Let me try to find one with...
Actually, I wanted to say, no, she totally doesn't, but she absolutely does. She absolutely does.
It's Petra.
Yeah, it's Petra. You're so right, Ben. Yeah.
It's Petra from the Quintessential Quintuplets. I mean...
I think I might go to read that.
Oh, you haven't read the Quintessential Quintuplets?
No.
It's like... kind of underrated. It's like ReZero. You know how ReZero like gets labeled in a dummy sekai?
Yeah.
Quintessential Quintuplets gets labeled as a dumb harem, and it's like the best harem.
Well, it's
series.
A harem. I mean, I really like harem.
Well, there you go. It's actually a good one. I don't like harem. I'm the C tactics. I'm the guy that complains when boobs appear on the screen because I'm trying to kill anime or something, because I hate the anime
like
man or
a real weeb would like fan service, he would like lollies, he would like boobs.
Well, damn, not a real weeb
fake
then.
Fake weeb.
I'm a fake weeb. I'm okay with that. And then after Petra Yotsuba Light comes in for the save, Lolly Yotsuba, Frederica comes in for the big save because it's Big Fred. And Elsa says, by the way, Frederica has Rim tied to her back, which I think is funny because it's like, I don't know. It's like the child, you know, on the mother's back or something, on the mother or father's back when they have like the strap.
Yeah.
Have it strapped to them. And I thought just like a sleeping child, and it's just Rim. And Frederica's big, you know, she's Big Fred. So she probably looks like a child.
I think that would look hilarious.
I need to see fan art of that. Somebody needs to make that happen. We need to see Big Fred with Rim tied to her back. Because it was tied, like, it was rope, right?
Yeah, I think it was rope.
So it's not comfortable either. She's getting...
I mean, yeah, she's still asleep.
Oh, yeah. Subaru's like, stop moving around so much. Like, you're going to break her neck. But Frederica is like, nah, it's fine. She'll be all right. Then Elsa is like,
wait. I don't know if you remember that, but you super use that ability Invisible Providence, and
we're about to get to that in a second.
I thought it was something like Subaru was trying to do that, and then he kind of failed, and then Frederica tried to ambush Elsa.
I have no idea what Invisible Providence is. Don't spoil me.
I can tell.
Don't tell me.
I won't spoil you because they explained that.
Okay, well, first of all, before you tell you spoil it, first tell me when they said it and where they said it.
They said, okay. They said that during the fight, Subaru had against Garfield before the tomb entrance, directly after the Reason to Believe, the chapter, I think 110 was that.
Mother, I can't remember shit. That was recent.
So,
God damn it.
Do you know why it's called Invisible Providence?
No.
Think of the name as Invisible. Something in ReZero is invisible.
Something in ReZero is invisible. That one girl's panties?
We're not
no,
talking
Aqua's
about
panties.
Konosuba.
Aqua's panties. What? Aqua's panties are invisible. Right?
It's actually how it's called?
Invisible Providence is summoning Aqua.
It's Kazuma Steel.
Oh. No, it's oh. Okay, so yeah, what I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's an unseen hand. Well, Subaru can summon one unseen hand.
Oh, that's right. He does use that, right?
Yeah.
You did use that then. Man, I'm big brain over here, not even remembering fucking the Mitch in my podcast.
The
and
Mitch.
Like I had like people in my comment section, like I announced this, like these podcasts with you, and I didn't tell anybody who it was, and everybody in my comment section were like, yo, get Mitch. And like and like three people
I'm
were
so
like,
sorry.
Yeah. Like three people were like, yeah, it's totally Mitch. He's definitely getting Mitch for this. Like there's
I'm
a reason
so
he's building up to this. And I'm and like nobody realizes that I've been friends with Mitch for like a year and a half before this. and like now that they're probably gonna watch this, and when they watch it, they're gonna be like,
who's that?
Wait, Mitch is in a podcast? And I'm as surprised as them? Like, oh man, that's great stuff. That's great stuff right there. That's quality entertainment. I mean, it's fantastic.
See, there he is.
So yeah, Garfield came in through the ceiling. He just was like,
Oi, what are you doing? I'm gonna come in for.
It's not my best Garfield. Whatever, who cares? He comes in through the ceiling and he's like, hey, Cheek. I don't know why he says cheek all the time, but it's cute. I like it. I like when he says cheek. And then the girl from Arlem Village shows up, and I know who this is because I read Ayamatsu If, but I didn't know who it was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't yeah. realize it was her until she's like Mei Li. I'm like, oh shit, it's Mei Li. So they're sisters. They also have a mother, which I am definitely interested in what her mother looks like. Lord. And Subaru's like, hey, you know what you should do, Elsa? You should just kindly do the seppuku challenge and look at your own guts. And Elsa's like, I've already done that. Literally. She got bored of it already. She literally did that. She literally sliced her own guts open to look at them.
Multiple times, I remind you.
Multiple yes, multiple times. To the point where she got bored of it.
And she declines of being a monster.
I hate Elsa. Like, I love Elsa, but, like, I hate when she says these things. Like, it makes me... like, it, you know it's like when a villain does something bad? Like, they've done, like Gus Fring in Breaking Bad. When he, like, does the thing that is, like, oh my god, like, this guy's bad. Like, you love to hate him. You love to see him, like, be evil and all this. You know, he's the greater evil compared to Walter White. And you're like, but at one point he does that one thing I forget in Breaking Bad. And it's like, oh, no. He's crossed the line. Like, he's going to die. This is the moment where I'm like, yeah, Elsa is no longer for this world. She's hit the point where it's like, you can like her. But it's like in terms of like, she's cutting herself open and looking at her guts. She's far gone. She's too far gone. Satsuki the Savage, if you're watching this, she cannot be rescued. She cannot be your waifu. She's gonna die.
Satsuki, it's totally fine. totally relate.
Still. Well, he's never going to watch this, so it's fine.
Yeah, of course he won't, but still, you never know.
Yeah, he's an anime only. Go check out Sotsky the Savage. He's a great friend.
Love him. Makes good videos. And his reaction channel.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about Elsa just being crazy? Like, what happened to her?
Okay, Subaru said that he thinks... So Subaru called her a monster, and she was like, don't say that to a girl, I wouldn't call that myself. And then Subaru said, like, yo, you survived a direct sword strike by Reinhardt, and you haven't been sliced in half, so you totally are a monster. And in the manga, it actually shows that the sword strike which Reinhardt gave Elsa was so strong, it kind of split the whole area in half, except Elsa. Wait, I kind of have to show a picture of this.
I've seen that. Because I have the manga. I have volume one of the manga. And I've read a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think you already saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't there.
Well, no, I think that's in volume two. Like, that part of the fight. Because I remember, like, wanting to go online to read it. And I did. Like, I bought it on, like, Amazon or something. I don't remember where I bought it. I definitely don't, whatever I use it on, I don't use that platform anymore, so I wasted money. But it is what it is. That's why you only buy manga physically. Because it's just better. I mean, what do you think about Elsa in terms of her cutting herself open to look at her guts? Because to me, like I've already said, that's just she's too far gone.
I mean, that's really creepy, but I still enjoy that because now we get to know how incredibly crazy she actually is and what's actually going through her mind, because she kind of don't really think like her human anymore. So
yeah, she's,
I don't know how I feel about her, honestly. I mean, she has the looks. She has the looks, but yeah, the more I know about her, I might take a step back.
Yeah, I mean, like, she is beyond, like, she's beyond, like, the crazy, like, Yandere-esque character that everybody loves, like, ironically, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, I mean, it's like saying you love the morals, going back to Breaking Bad, you love, like, the morality that Walter White has. It's like, you just don't say that shit. Like Elsa makes you, to me, Elsa makes me feel weird now. Like, before, I thought she was, like, a cool, like, unbeatable Terminator chick. Now I'm like, ugh. like, she creeps me out. And I think that's cool. I think the fact that I can feel that way about this character is really cool. Because that means she's not just, you know, a girl with huge boobies. Oh, my God. That is, like, I haven't seen that. Or no, I...
And she survived that. She survived that.
I mean, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. She's definitely like, I mean, she's a vampire. She is a monster. So it's like, she is inhuman. That's for sure. But yeah, I mean, Elsa is like, she's cool. You know, I like her still, but it's just, I think it's really cool. Like, we knew everything about Elsa. We thought we did. We thought she was just a crazy mercenary who likes to be cut up and stuff and cut other people and kill them. But there's more to the story with her. And it's the fact that she's beyond crazy. She's a lunatic. She cannot be helped because there is nothing, like, there's nothing redeemable about her. You can't fix what's wrong with her. To fix her, you have to kill her. Because that kind of thing shouldn't exist in this world. Like, she's pure evil. Like,
I want to say, though, there is a reason for that. I don't want to go into detail, but it will be explained at some point.
Oh, shit. She just wanted Subaru to give her a pat on the head?
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Subaru.
Who doesn't? Thank you, Subaru-kun.
I'm gonna stop stabbing people.
No, it's just Moe Elsa.
Oh god, she turns into a lolly. Like, oh my god, she's a vampire, so it's like Monogatari. She's gonna turn into Shinobu. No. She's kiss shot.
Oh no.
It's perfect. It's all perfect. We just made a Monogatari reference. Garfield says an idiom. He says, the Meeden who shoulders the mountain loses anywhere to run. Should I say that in my Garfield voice?
Yes. Please.
Or the maiden who shoulders the mountain loses anywhere to run.
It was pretty good. I love your Garfield voice.
It's not as good as it could be.
I mean, it's still better than mine.
Well, let's hear your version.
No, I totally won't try that.
Just do it in German. It'll sound cooler.
Oh my god, I actually could do that, but I will just sound like a angry German, so.
Oh, that's even better.
No!
It could be somebody's ringtone.
Do not try to make me things I don't want to do, Ben.
Okay, anybody watching right now, take a random excerpt of whatever Cedric has said on this podcast and make it your ringtone, record it, and send a video in, and I will send it to Cedric, and he will watch it, and he will go, wow, people did that. It'll be great. Subaru wants Garfield to basically to hold off Elsa and Mei Li, and Petra is like, you can do it, scary looking man, to Garfield. I think it's so cute. Petra is just like the innocent, I don't want to say comedic relief, but like the lighthearted side of ReZero that just makes like a dramatic, intense situation. Just, you know, not as dramatic and intense, which is kind of needed. There's a little bit of levity there.
Yeah, but I also say that Otto is the same because as he summoned the donut spell before, as he protected the guys from Elsa, Subaru said, yeah, they took out Otto, so he can't fight anymore. And Otto is like, yo, Subaru, I'm totally still alive. You cannot say something like that.
I love Otto. God, he's the best.
He's so cute.
Yeah, he's adorable. So God, I'd go 100,000,000% gay for Otto. Quote me on that. Make that your ringtone. I like how Subaru tells Otto to speak to like the mob beast, tell him to like go away. And Otto's like, they would just say, me eat you whole. There's not much of a conversation there. I thought that was really interesting. It's a funny joke, but as well, it really shows like what the mob beasts and what, you know, these animal-like creatures think of, which is very simple. Like they're not a highly intelligent life form. You know, for Otto, it's basically, you know, it's not really much of a conversation because they can't have a conversation. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then they realize they can't escape. They're just surrounded and they're kind of in like a really shit situation. Yeah. What did you think about this chapter?
Chapter was, I think it was a cool chapter just because, it got more, so the previous chapter was like more interaction and it was a little bit darker, so it was cool to get some action just to change the pace again. And it's just really enjoyable to see the whole gang assembled and kind of trying to figure out how to deal with Elsa and the mobbies outside. And then, like, Garfield and Frederica rescuing them at the end. That was also pretty enjoyable. And Mei Li starts to shout at Elsa just because Garfield killed one of her mobbies. And then she was like, Elsa, do something! And, yeah, so it turns out that Garfield wants to deal with both of them simultaneously while Subaru tries to escape with the rest of the gang.
Yeah, I don't know what really to think about Mei Li other than that she's just a very childish character and probably going to be just as crazy as Elsa if she ends up somehow surviving all this, which, yeah, I've already decided Elsa's probably just going to... They're gonna have to kill her. That's the thing that I took away from this chapter was Elsa has crossed the point of no return. So, yep. It's sad, but big booby vampires got to die sometimes. It's just what it is. It's tragic, I know. With that being said, Cedric, where can they find you?
On my YouTube channel, GeroGear, GER0Gear. And on my Twitter, Gear_Art_, but I do not say for work stuff, so.
Well, there you go.
Perhaps you shouldn't follow me.
Well, if you're underage, you shouldn't follow. But if you're of the age, you should.
I do resume ludes.
Ah, yes. I see them in my timeline all the time, and I'm like, I don't like hentai, but I gotta respect the hustle, I gotta respect, you know, the
hard
work.
I hate you, and I hate Mitch. Both of you told me, yo, I don't like hentai. And I am like, what? You yeah, two don't like hentai?
It's so boring. It's just not, I mean, I respect, like, the art. Like, I'm not gonna say I haven't seen it because I have, that's how I formed my own opinion of it, right? So
yeah, sure.
Like I see your art and I go, well, those are some boobs of a character that I actually kind of like, which this I think is my hold up with hentai a lot of times is I just don't like looking at the characters I like naked. But like it takes a lot of work to draw a body to evoke that emotion that you want. Just in general, let alone do it in that manner, you know, that's difficult. So, and obviously I think based on what people have said, your art has succeeded.
Indeed it has.
Yeah. So with that being said, thanks everybody for watching this episode of the ReZero podcast, and make sure to go on Twitter and tell the air purifier of the ReZero podcast, Cedric, that he makes the best hentai ever and that you want him to make I don't know. a wholesome doujin of Moe Elsa eating cake and drinking tea, and it's like a K-On thing. I don't know.
Sounds sweet.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Instead of pornography, it's something wholesome, something everybody can enjoy. And he'll do it at 1 million likes.
Yep.
So get him to 1 million likes right now. If you don't do it right now, it's he'll never do it. So thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you next week with the third anniversary episode of the ReZero podcast, where we are going to be covering a lot of chapters. Or no, it's not next week. It's the week after. Is it? Yeah, it's no. So the next week is not. Okay. In 2 weeks, third anniversary of the ReZero podcast, where we'll be covering the last couple things, and it'll be great. But next week, we'll be doing 126 and 127, maybe. We'll see. Thanks, everybody, for watching. See you later. Bye-bye.